Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Mr. Stephen McGarvey, an international speaker and expert on persuasion and influence and the founder of a boutique consulting firm, Solutions in Mind. His new book is the USA Today and Wall Street Journal number one bestseller, Ignite a Shift, Engaging Minds, Guiding Emotions, and Driving Behavior. And Mr. McGarvey, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Just call me Stephen. Mr. McGarvey makes me sound too old.
No problem at all. I'm sure we can take care of you in that regard. Now, again, I appreciate your visit with us here today. So in regards to your book, Ignite a Shift, why did you actually write this book? What was the motivation there? Let's start there today.
It was really the demand from our client base. They kept on saying, when are you going to write a book? When are you going to write a book? And it was honestly the last thing I ever planned on doing. And then once you get going, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. You get so far into it, there's no turning back.
And I'm sure just in your response, you've captivated the audience already. Now, in your book, Ignite a Shift, you talk about the think, feel, and do process. Can you explain why this concept is so important?
I think it's critical for people to understand that their cognitive processing or their thinking, including their beliefs, the values that they have, the criteria, the stories they tell themselves about what they can do or can't do, impacts their emotional state, which drives their behavior. And one of the examples that I share regularly with audiences, particularly during, you know, we're just getting through COVID, this whole idea of anxiety being a state that people think they just have anxiety. In a lot of cases, they actually create the anxiety by how they're thinking. So I came up with a definition after years of private practice that anxiety is an emotion of the future that you can only experience in the now by imagining something that hasn't happened yet turning out in a way that you don't want it to. And that triggers that state of anxiety. And when I test this with audience, in fact, your listeners can actually test this. Anxiety is an emotion of the future that you can only experience in the now by imagining something that hasn't happened yet turning out in a way that we don't want it to or that you don't want it to. And we can actually test that. And people are surprised that that holds true as a definition of anxiety.
Yeah, great feedback there and definitely appreciated as well. Now, also in your book, you talk about the power of certain words. What are these words and why should marketers use them carefully and with intention?
I think there's a laundry list of them, but two that I start off with are the word try. And number one is try presupposes failure. So if we're saying we're going to try to do something or try to accomplish something, we're literally instilling in our audience the sense of failure, that we're doubting that we're actually going to accomplish it versus what we're in the process of accomplishing or what we're working toward. A very different sense of accomplishment and success. The other one is but. That word but is a real rapport breaker, I call it. If I said to you, Eric, you've got a really interesting show, but notice what just happened with you've got a really interesting show. It negates what came before it. So I think one of the words that we get people, particularly marketers and executives, to replace it with is the word and. Eric, that's a really interesting, you've got a really interesting show, and I'm definitely looking forward to our conversation today. So and really builds on and gives me an opportunity to add to it while embracing and accepting your idea rather than dismissing it. So those are two basic ones for people in general in life to be aware of.
Good stuff. And also another question, what does it mean to influence with integrity and why is this concept so important in the fields of sales and marketing? Something that's not really covered so much, especially here.
It's interesting that you bring that up, Eric. Almost every podcast that I've done since the launch of the book, this comes up. And I think one of the reasons is we wanted to emphasize that influence and the tools in the book are so powerful. It's like a hammer. I tell people the hammer is not good or bad. The hammer is a tool. It depends on who's holding the hammer. It can be used to break a window or it can be used to install a window. It's got nothing to do with the hammer. It's got to do with the intention of the person behind it. So when we say influencing with integrity, we just want people to really understand that these tools are powerful and need to be used ethically and with integrity. And so that's why we emphasize that in the book.
really have appreciated the information and insight shared so far today. We're speaking with Stephen McGarvey, an international speaker, an expert on persuasion and influence, and the founder of a boutique consulting firm, Solutions in Mind. His new book is The USA Today and Wall Street Journal number one bestseller, Ignite a Shift, Engaging Minds, Guiding Emotions, and Driving Behavior. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, how can individuals establish and strengthen relationships with clients?
Yeah, it's funny you use the term relationship, and I know we've got a short amount of time here. Relationship is technically what we refer to as a nominalization. It's something that we treat as an abstract noun that's actually the process of relating. So it's how I relate to the person that I conclude, if I do it well, I conclude we have a good relationship. If I feel they relate well to me and I relate well to them, then I conclude I've got a good relationship. And the opposite holds true. If I get a sense or I think they're not relating well to me or I am not relating well to them, then we call it a bad relationship. The fact remains, it's really the process of relating that I'm passing a judgment call on. And so we have an entire chapter in the book that really looks at how do we very intentionally build rapport. And when we understand that rapport is really what we're talking about and how we relate to the other person, how do I enter into their model of the world and give them the experience that I understand them? And I think that's one of the most powerful things we can learn to do as people. And on top of that, it just exponentially improves our ability to connect with clients.
Totally agree with you there, and it makes total sense as well. Also, how can an organization hire, retain, and motivate talent? That's a topic that we do cover quite a bit here in recent years.
Yeah, I think the number one thing that we see is when people feel appreciated, engaged, and challenged. I think those are three key things that we hear over and over and over again, especially in this COVID world. I mean, it takes very little to call somebody and say, I really appreciate that job you did, or thanks for going above and beyond. I mean, on LinkedIn, you know, to some of our folks, we put kudos up. And every single time we've done it, we get a call saying it meant a lot to me. And it gives them recognition as well, because especially on LinkedIn, it's a great network, and others that know them that maybe I don't even know will still like the fact that they're being acknowledged. So I think giving acknowledgement and credit where credit is due, and really keeping people engaged is about keeping them interested in what you're doing and understand what their motivators are. Do they like process? Do they like options? Do they like procedures? What drives them, and really understanding what's relevant to them and why, and then doing your best to put them in a place where they can experience the fulfillment of that at work. And I think when that happens, we keep them around for a long period of time and they find enjoyment. And I found in my own experience, and I've seen it in corporations, they put in that 110% effort and they go above and beyond. And when we see the opposite of that, in fact, you know as well as anybody, Eric, that people don't leave their job, they leave their manager in most cases. And so it's a really good topic to have a conversation about.
I'm sure there's quite a few listeners that can relate to that response to that question. Thank you so much. Now, how can a person build or repair rapport with colleagues, vendors, or clients? Get into that a little bit, if you would.
I think one of the things to do is admit, recognize that it's broken. So if I recognize that it's being stretched, that's one thing. It's easy to take a step back and say, hey, I feel like I'm pushing a bit too hard here. Are we good? Can I back up? Can we restart that conversation again? So we can add a bit of humor in and we can restart. If I haven't noticed that I've stretched it or that I am stretching it, then if it's broken, it depends on how badly it's done. In fact, I just had lunch with a colleague the other day and something occurred, you know, as far as gaining promotions at work and all that stuff. This happened 6-7 years ago. And they said the only regret they had in their career was the damage that was done to that relationship. And they had reached out to repair, extend that olive branch, so to speak, and didn't get a response back because the person was so hurt, they just didn't want anything to do with them anymore. So sometimes it is broken beyond repair. And often, you know, if we admit we've done wrong and we take ownership and accountability for our actions, I think that's the first step to repairing it. And then really understanding, you know, that people process information very differently. So, you know, I could say something with the best of intention, Eric, and the person can take it the wrong way. And I can blame them for a misunderstanding or that's not what I meant. But bottom line is we have to take ownership for the impact that our communication has. So if I've offended somebody or if I've broken rapport, I want to take ownership for, you know, what I did, how I communicated and course correct on that. And I think taking ownership and admitting that maybe you've done something wrong or at least being brave enough to confront's probably not the best word there, but approach them and open up a dialogue to see, you know, what went wrong and how you can course correct it.
Great information and feedback. Certainly a complicated topic, but the part about you're coming to the point of admitting you're wrong, I feel that's where it really starts. So that's some good feedback coming from you on that. What tips do you have to help marketing professionals communicate effectively in remote work environments and with colleagues across different areas of organizations such as sales, product management, operations, customer success, et cetera?
That's a big topic. We could spend a day on that. I think the number one thing is know your customer, know what their values are and what's relevant to them, and then connect what you're offering in a meaningful way to that. All too often, we push things out in a way that's, hey, here's why this is important based on our values, as opposed to understanding what our customers' values are and then connecting what we're offering in a meaningful way to what's relevant to them. I think that's number one key to success. We get emails, especially, you know, during the last 3 years, all kinds of crazy emails. And sometimes the title will be interesting enough to pique my curiosity and get me to open it. And they're selling me something that's not even remotely close to what I need or want. And so I just delete it right away. I don't even, engage or respond. So I think really understanding what's of value to the customer or the client base, and then connecting what you're offering in a way that's relevant and meaningful.
Stephen, really have appreciated your visit with us here today. And of course, you are the author of Ignite a Shift, Engaging Minds, Guiding Emotions, and Driving Behavior. One last question for you as we do conclude today. How does an understanding of how the human brain processes information help people improve their communication skills?
It fascinates me that anyone would think it doesn't, because we as human beings are filtering machines. Each of us codes our realities. We take information through our senses and it gets coded in our nervous system. So the more we understand about how the brain actually filters information, the more we can understand how different people can have a similar experience but code it very differently. And if, you know, you've probably had this experience, Eric. You've been at some event with some friends. Later, you bring up a conversation and what was relevant to them or meaningful to them. Or you may even wonder if they were in the same place or at the same event because their recollection of it is very different than yours. So I think the more we understand about how people filter information and how we as humans do that, the more we can adjust our communication to provide that other person the experience of being understood. And some people are more visual, some people are more auditory, some people are more kinesthetic. If we listen to their language, we'll get a sense as to how they think, and then we can adjust our communication accordingly to match up with their process of filtering and coding information. And that's a really powerful way, again, of establishing rapport and giving them the experience that we understand them better than anyone else.
Once again, Stephen, thanks for your time and for joining us here today. And I'm sure listeners want to know where they could get more information on your consulting firm Solutions in Mind, and also where they could pick up the book, Ignite a Shift. Where's the best place to get further details accordingly?
The website is www.solutionsinmind, that's SolutionsInMind, mind.com. And the book's available there, as well as Chapters, Indigo, most of the major online bookstores carry it. And you can get it in some of the bookstores as well, but it seems to be doing exceptionally well online. I think these days people have gotten used to just pushing a button to have it arrive at their door. I'm the same. I can't remember the last time I've been in a bookstore. So, Eric, I just want to thank you for having me on and for your audience tuning in.
Hey, you're more than welcome. It was great to have had you with us. Again, we've been speaking with Stephen McGarvey, an international speaker and expert on persuasion and influence and the founder of a boutique consulting firm, Solutions in Mind. His new book is the USA Today and Wall Street Journal number one bestseller, Ignite a Shift, Engaging Minds, Guiding Emotions, and Driving Behavior. And for all the details, visit solutionsinmind.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.